I want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning to our Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. It's good to be with you on a Sunday morning. Appreciate everybody that's here today. I know Brother Lewis's wife Mimi's having some sinus problems and want to remember her in our prayers this morning. I know Jennifer Harris just had surgery. And Norma Jean's daughter, and we want to remember her in our prayers this morning. And my sis and Terry, remember them in our prayers this morning. And those on our prayer list that are sick and hurting, want to lift them up as well. And it's good to see you today. Well, I'm glad to see anybody, but it's good to see you today. Good to be in the Lord's house with you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for so great a salvation. Thanking you for your faithfulness, your grace, and your mercies that are new every day. Lord, we pray for those that are sick and hurting this morning, for Jennifer recovering from her surgery. Lift her up to you. We also pray for Mike that's going through chemo, Mike Hicks that's going through chemo treatments, that Lord, you would give him good results and good days, and bless and watch over him. We also lift up to you Joyce Barnhill and Debbie Lovin, Celesta Goins, Daryl Bunning, and Brother David Atwell too. We lift them up to you and pray for them. Also my sister and for my Terry, Lord, we lift them up and pray for them. Also, we lift up Gary Jennings that lost his wife here recently, and Evelyn Tanner that lost her husband here recently as well. That, Lord, you'd bless and watch over them. Be with all of our sick and hurting on our prayer list this morning. We ask your blessing on the word as we share it together, because it is from the Lord himself. And we pray you'd open our not only our ears, but our minds and hearts to your word, that we might hide the truth of your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Thank you again for the blessing of knowing Christ as our Savior, and for the good things you give us each and every day. Now, bless your word as we share it together, for we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. And we are in the fifth chapter. We're moving right along this morning. And it will probably just get started this morning in the time that we have. And beginning in the fifth chapter, it says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed." Verse 2, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when Christ, the chief shepherd, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Now, we'll probably just get started good on this morning. "To the elders among you." And so at this time, and it really started back in the Old Testament time, each synagogue would have multiple elders. And an elder is the same thing as a pastor. A pastor, an elder, is the same thing in the scripture. And you notice what he has said here. "I appeal as a fellow elder," Peter did, "a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock." And so in scripture, what we find is God speaks of pastors as shepherds, or elders as shepherds. And he speaks of, and we understand this, we are God's flock. We are God's flock, and Jesus is the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, over his flock. Now you remember when Peter denied Christ three times, and then after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to Peter and those other fishermen there on the seashore, and he asked Peter three times. He gave him three opportunities to confess his love for him. And he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." And three times he asked him that. And every time when he would ask him that, what did the Lord say to Peter? "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." So over and over again, we find in Scripture that God refers to us as sheep. As sheep. We find that throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible. Now, in case you would become puffed up in your self-righteousness or think greater of yourself than you really are, we are going to study about sheep. We are going to study about sheep this morning. And I are one. I'm not saying that you are and I'm not. We are referred to in Scripture multiple times as sheep, Christ as the shepherd over his flock, Christ as the shepherd over his sheep. Now, I was reading and studying what John MacArthur had to say about sheep, because he went to New Zealand, he went to Australia, he and his family stayed with a sheep herder in New Zealand. His name was Bowen. The sheep herder's name was Bowen, and he's written many books on sheep. And so I'm going to be sharing with you this morning some of the characteristics of sheep, because that's what God refers to us as, sheep. Now, when you think of sheep, you think of some pretty, fluffy, cuddly, woolly animal that probably your son or daughter had a little stuffed sheep when they were little and had it in their bed, and they laid there with that, and you thought, "Oh, how precious, how pretty." Well, that is not anything like sheep. And so I'm going to be sharing with you this morning what the characteristics of sheep are and why God refers to his flock and to us as sheep. In Matthew 9:36, Jesus looked at the people around him and the chaos that was going on, and this is what he said: "They are like sheep without a shepherd." They are like sheep without a shepherd. Now, the truth of the matter is, and let me share this to you. I had no idea about this, but where they raise sheep, like in Australia or in New Zealand, there is one sheep that is called a Judas sheep. And that sheep has been castrated at birth, and then as he grows up, he is the leader of the sheep. The sheep all follow the Judas sheep. And he's called the Judas sheep because he leads the other sheep to slaughter. All the sheep will follow the Judas sheep. So when the person that raises the sheep gets ready to bring them to market, he's got all the wool off of them. He's done everything else. And so now he's ready to sell them at the market. The Judas sheep leads all the other sheep up the ramp. And there is a trap door up there. And so when the Judas sheep gets there, they open the trap door. The Judas sheep goes out, and the other sheep just keep on going till they reach the slaughter floor. And so he is called a Judas sheep. And he leads the other sheep to slaughter. And so that was very interesting. I had no idea about that. And we'll look at that and how that fits in later on as we think about this. Now, I'm going to read you what Bowen and MacArthur had to say about sheep, okay? Because I won't be able to remember all of it, okay? And sheep are one of the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. Sheep get lost very easily. They have no sense of direction. Now, have you ever had a dog that maybe, I'd probably put you in jail for this now, but maybe you wanted to get rid of the dog, and so you put the dog in the truck, and you drove miles away from your house. And when you put the dog out, you drove back home. And when you had, to your amazement, when you got back home, and you opened the truck door and got out, there was the dog. The dog had enough sense and enough instinct to find his way back home. No matter where you took him, the dog had instinct and sense enough to get himself back home, probably before you did. Well, sheep aren't like that. Sheep get lost very easily. Sheep stray away very easily. Most animals can smell water. They know where water is. They can simply smell water and find their way to it. Sheep cannot. Sheep cannot find their way to water. If you take sheep very far away from their water source that they know of, that they've already been led to, they will die of thirst. They cannot find water on their own. Sheep also cannot find pasture on their own. Sheep, if left on their own, will eat all the grass up where they are, they'll eat all the stubble, and they'll start eating dirt because there is no grass left. And they cannot find pasture or grass on their own. The shepherd has to lead them to where water is. The shepherd has to lead them to where grass is, good pasture. The shepherd has to do all of this because sheep have no instinct and they cannot find it on their own. That's why it is so important that sheep have to have a shepherd. Also, when we think of sheep, as I said before, you think of this pretty, white, soft, cuddly thing that probably your child had a stuffed one in bed with him, or she did, or he did, one or the other. Sheep are one of the most dirty, filthy animals on the face of the planet. Because sheep have something that they produce in their body for their wool that is called lanolin. Sheep produce out of their body lanolin for their wool that they produce. Well, lanolin is a very sticky substance, and so everything sticks to a sheep. When a sheep goes through a place where there are weeds, weeds stick to a sheep. If he goes through the races where there are trees, sticks stick to a sheep. Everything dirt sticks to a sheep. Everything around the sheep sticks to the sheep. So sheep are one of the filthiest animals on the face of the planet because all this stuff that is in the air, that is blowing around, that is around them, sticks to the sheep. So they are very dirty animals, and so they have to be cleaned by the shepherd. The shepherd cleanses the sheep. So the sheep cannot find water, they cannot find pasture, they cannot clean themselves. Also, in some information that you might not want to know, but sheep, where the refuse out of their body goes out, sheep cannot clean themselves, and the wool and the dirt and the sticks and everything else clogs over that. And so the shepherd has to trim that away, trim the wool away, so that when the refuse of the sheep has to go out, it can get out. So the shepherd has to trim the sheep, has to water the sheep, feed the sheep, guide the sheep, clean the sheep, and this is all part of the shepherd's job as he cares for the sheep. And so this thing of being a shepherd in New Zealand or in Australia or anywhere else for that matter is quite a job as you look at it, as you look at what he has to do for these sheep. Also he said, sheep can't distinguish between oats and hay, alfalfa and grass are noxious, toxic weeds. So the shepherd has to make sure that the sheep aren't poisoned wherever they're grazing. He has to guide them away from plants that would poison them or harm them. Also, sheep cannot fight. Sheep cannot fight. I've used this in sermon illustration before. A dog can bite, a cat can scratch, a goat can butt, but a sheep doesn't know how to protect itself. So it is fair prey for any predator that comes along. Fair prey for any predator that comes. Carol.
But I was out in the field with the sheep supposedly taking them to the barn, and one of them had a lamb with her. And when I came into the field, she was protecting her lamb. She butted me down and walked on me.
Butted you down and walked on you. Karamiski, if you're watching online, I'm getting a report from a lady whose father raised sheep. And she said a sheep butted her down and walked on her because she had a young lamb and she was protecting her lamb. But if you had been a wolf or a bear or some other predator of that kind, they would have separated you from the rest of the sheep and they would have killed you and ate you if you were a sheep. So the main thing that to understand about all of this is that we, as God looks at us and refers to us as sheep, need someone to guide us, someone to feed us, someone that can satisfy our thirst, someone that can protect us, someone that can cleanse us. All these things that you see that a shepherd has to do, God does for us. When you look at sheep and you really see all that is needed to care for them, to take care of them, to keep them from being harmed, to keep them from false doctrine, to keep them from the Judas sheep, all the things that you see that sheep have to be protected from are true about us. So when you see in the scripture that Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd, when you see in the scripture that Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd, you understand that is what he does for all of us. He guides us, he protects us, he cleanses us, he watches over us continually. All the things that a shepherd would do, that's what God does. Now, here in the scriptures, Here in the scriptures, God is referring through Peter, who is an elder himself, an apostle, but an elder, as a shepherd. The word shepherd and pastor are the same word in the Greek in the scriptures, are used concerning the same thought process and the same word. So when he is writing to them, and he is saying in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 1, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. When he says in verse 2 to the elders, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Serve as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. But be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So, what we see here is Peter writing to these Christians that are scattered throughout five provinces, and he writes to them at a time when they're being persecuted. He's writing to them at a time when they're having very great difficulty. And as he writes to them, he is challenging the elders over them. I wouldn't say he's challenging. He's exhorting. He's encouraging. He's exhorting the shepherds, or the elders over them. And notice what he says, to the elders. Now that's important because most everywhere you see that in Scripture, it's plural. It's plural. To the elders. Okay? I might as well go ahead and talk about that because if I don't, I'll probably forget it later on. So when he says he's talking to the elders, there is an important reason for it to be plural, for him to be speaking to the elders. In the Old Testament, in the synagogue, there were many elders. There were several elders in the synagogue. When you come over to the New Testament, and you come over to the churches then, in the New Testament, there were several elders in the New Testament church. Not just one, but more than one. More than one. Now this is very important that we see that, because there are several very good reasons why there are more than one elder in the synagogues and then in the churches as well, as he writes to them here, and he says to the elders. When we were looking for a pastor, okay, after Brother Tread announced he was going to be retiring and leaving the pastorship here, when he said he was retiring, Brother Terry Mathis made this statement, I believe, to Brother Kevin McNichols. It might not have been Kevin, but I think it was. Kevin was heading up our search committee as we search for a pastor that we knew that God would bring here. Okay, Brother Terry Mathis, who is over the churches in our association, said this. He said, Waldo Church would be able to make it through the transition from one pastor to another because of the staff and the people that it had here in the church. Why is that so important? Because when one elder left, there were still elders in the church. When one pastor left, there were still pastors in the church to carry on until God brought the new pastor in. And that's very important. That's very important. One reason it's very important is it doesn't all fall on the shoulders of the new elder. It doesn't all fall on the shoulders of the new elder pastor, because there were men in the church that God had put here to help shepherd, lead the church. And so in that transition process, it went very smooth. Also, it does, like I mentioned, it doesn't all fall on the shoulders of the elder pastor that God has just brought in to his local flock at that church. It is very important. Also, it is important for a church to have more than one elder pastor, because if there's only one and there isn't enough other leadership within the church, there is no accountability. There has to be accountability. For me, for Brother Nate, for Brother David, or for Brother Caleb, there has to be accountability. There has to be accountability that we're true to the doctrine in the scriptures and the covenant and the doctrine of the church. That's tremendously important. So each elder is accountable not only to the church, but to the other elder pastors within the church. We are accountable to each other. In other words, each of us looks at the other, and if I get out of line doctrinally or in any other way, I'm sure Nate would say something to me, or David, or Caleb. Likewise, if one of them does, I will say something to them. So God has intended to put within each church a set of checks and balances within that church of accountability, so that they are all leading the church doctrinally, scripturally, faithfully. And that is really important. That is really important. And so when we look at this and we see what he's saying here, we see why he says, to the elders among you. To the elders among you. So we find that there is a good reason for there being multiple elders or pastors within a local congregation because of that. Another reason for that is that if there's only one, he can become too dominant. He can become too dominant because he is the only one. Whereas if there are multiples, if there are several elders within the church, not only is the load spread out, but the recognition is spread out among the other pastors or elders in the church. Are you with me on this? Do you understand what I'm talking about? It is a very important thing. We have been blessed here at Waldo Baptist Church. I'm not saying not because of me. we've been blessed here at Waldo Baptist Church because of the leadership that we have within the body of Christ. And I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about Kevin. I'm talking about Brother Lewis. I'm talking about Nate. I'm talking about David. I'm talking about Caleb. I'm talking about all the staff members in our church. I'm talking about each that God, we aren't here by accident. God has given us deacons. He has given us elders. He's given us pastors within the church itself, so that if one is down, the others pick up the load, and it goes on, and it doesn't miss a beat. It just continues on. Doctrinally, scripturally, faithfully, we go on. And many churches do not have that structure in their churches to be able to go on when something like changing pastors, a transition period happens. And so that's really important. And Terry Mathis knew what he was talking about when he said that. Okay, now that's why we see him talking to the elders, plural, among you when he says this here in chapter 5. And then he exhorts them, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusting to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd comes, you see, this is the thing. When the chief shepherd comes, Nate, myself, David, Caleb, we are going to all stand before the Lord and give an account for what kind of shepherds we were. This is true. This is absolutely true. We will all give an account. God will look at us and he will judge us according to what kind of shepherds we have been. And so we not only have the accountability of each other, we not only have the accountability of the church itself. And I used to kid Trad, and we would be together, and I would tell him, I'd say, Trad, you know you've just got a job from one business meeting to the next. I would remind him of that continually. That he only had a job from one business meeting to the next. So anyway, he and I were on the phone talking to each other back and forth, and he reminded me of that the other day. He said, be sure and tell Nate. So anyway, we will give an account before God one day how we have shepherded over the flock of God entrusted to us, that we did not do it out of greed for money, but we did it willingly. We did it because of a desire to serve the Lord and serve others. And we never lorded our position over anyone else in the church. We realize that we're all the same in Christ. And he goes through all these things here in talking to the elders, in talking to them about shepherding God's flock. And he says to them, you're going to give an account when the chief shepherd appears. And he says, if you have shepherded the flock scripturally, correctly, as God has guided you, then you will receive what? A crown. You will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. So, this is just a lesson this morning that we find in these first few verses of what a pastor is supposed to be and what all of us as sheep need. We need a shepherd. We have a good shepherd. We have a chief shepherd. We have a shepherd that died for us, rose from the dead on the third day, and lives and reigns forever and sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for you and intercedes for us every day that we live. And one day we'll spend eternity with Him in glory, the chief shepherd Himself. And the second bell rang, and I'm out of time, but that's all right. I got through the sheep and the shepherd this morning. All right, we'll stop right there. Anybody got a question before we dismiss in prayer? No question from the sheep. All right, okay. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your scripture is amazing, really. When we look at it and we see, I've always said that not only until we study scripture do we know who God is, we don't even know who we are until we really study scripture. And Lord, you reveal to us how much all of us need a shepherd, how much we need someone to guide us, to feed us, to satisfy our thirst in this world for the Word, and to guide us into right paths and righteousness, to not be led astray by the Judas sheep, but to follow the doctrines and the teachings and the Word of Almighty God. Thank you for Nate and the way he teaches and the way he cares. Thank you for Brother Matt that's going to be here this morning. We ask your blessing on him, and may the Holy Spirit speak through him the very words of God. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen.